Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, good evening, wherever you're dialing in from all over the globe. We welcome you to the Living by Design show. I am so happy and excited to spend the next 30 minutes with you with another empowering topic and a very, very powerful guest. And I know you are going to be so impressed and not just impressed but impacted by this individual because he is none other than the world-renowned Dr. Dennis Kimbrough, and he is just amazing. He has done too many things for me to even begin to talk about. His career just absolutely spans the globe. He is a best-selling author, and he's done so much in his career, and this gentleman is just amazing. And the one thing that I absolutely love about him is that he gives so much of himself. He cares about other people. He cares about the African-American race, and I absolutely love that about him. So I am going to bring my guest on the line, Dr. Dennis Kimbrough. How are you doing today, Dennis?
Kathy, I am doing fine. You could have selected 50 million folks to be on your show. I am honored.
Oh, thank you so much. That means quite a bit coming from you, sir, because your bio is so powerful. It is absolutely amazing. So I know you're going to bless some souls and you're going to really help some people and change some lives, and that's what we're all about.
Okay, we're going to live by design. Go ahead, live by design, girl.
Yes, sir. Yes, because you are definitely living by design. So, Dennis, I always like to start because, you know, especially someone with your stature and the accomplishments and things that you have accomplished, I would like for you to just start out because everyone has a story. Everyone has pain. Everyone has excuses. Everyone has justification for why they can't make it, why I can't be successful. The man is holding me down. It's this, it's that. I lost my job. My boss made me mad. My wife divorced me. My husband left me and cheated on me. You know the list goes on and on. So please share with my listeners how you got started and how you came to be the superb individual that you are today.
Well, you know, before I answer that question, I just want to respond to the excuses that you gave or that you rendered, and you were speaking rhetorical, but during the focus groups that I had with so many black millionaires over the research of my fifth book, what I found out and what they shared with me, Kathy, is that you can make excuses or you can make money, but you can't do both. And as T.D. Jakes shared with me, said, tears will get you sympathy, but hard work and sweat will get you what you want. And I used hard work and sweat. So years ago, you know, when I got my fancy Ph.D. degree from Northwestern University, I didn't know what I wanted to do, Kathy, but I certainly knew what I didn't want to do. Now, many of my colleagues with degree in hand, they couldn't wait to run to Wall Street, wait to go to Washington, D.C., work for one of the federal departments, blah, blah, blah. I'm not knocking that. That wasn't for me. And I didn't even want to teach. And what the hell do you do with those three letters at the end of your name? And that's what I do now. But, Kathy, all I wanted to do, darling, I had to find the answers to two questions. Question number one, why does one person succeed while another fails? And question number two, why is one individual rich and wealthy while another is impoverished? So I carved out a list of 50 individuals who I was going to meet and interview for a book that I was going to write. And that list of 50 grew from 50 to 100, and I quit counting at 150 interviews. And I wrote five books over the course of all the interviews that I had, and three of the five were bestsellers, and Think and Grow Rich of Black Choice and The Wealth Choice, Success Secrets of Black Millionaires is probably what I'm known for best.
You know, I'm so glad you said that because it's not only the difference makers or the people who either make excuses or they make a life or a significant impact on the world. It's not just that, Dennis. I don't really know what it is, to be honest with you. And I know you're going to talk to us and our audience about that, some of the things that you discovered and, you know, your books and what you have written about. But I think for the African-American race, and I have no idea why this is, and you can answer this question, I don't know why the African-American race feels like everything is against them. Everybody is against them. The system was set up for us to fail, and that is so not true.
Well, you know, it depends on who you ask for the answer. Unfortunately, we constantly hear from one certain set of individuals. You know, when you look back at our paragons of excellence, when you look at Martin Luther King and W.B. Du Bois, for example, the impetus for my fifth book really came from Andy Young. He said to me, he said, years ago, Kathy, he said, me and Dr. King, we integrated the lunch counter, but we failed to integrate the dollar. And my response was, well,
how? I love that.
Yeah, and he's being open and honest. And let me tell you something else, Kathy. W.B. Du Bois and Martin Luther King were barely on speaking terms. Why? Because Du Bois thought that King could push economic development more. When Martin Luther King led the Montgomery bus boycott, there were only 5 black millionaires in the United States. I was privy and honored enough to interview 3 of the 5, and I shared their story in Think and Grow at Your Black Choice. Now you fast forward the videotape to 2014, 2013, 14, you have 35,000 black millionaires and 5 black billionaires in the United States. And truth be told, I interviewed 3 of the 5 black billionaires, and I shared their story, among other stories, in The Wealth Choice. But it depends on who you ask. And what we don't do, Kathy, as a race, we don't profile our wealth creators. Every other race will take the wealth creators and place them on a pedestal. I could bring you in. I'm sitting in my study right now in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can place the remote control in your hand, and you can look at my flat screen TV. And, Kathy, you might see Bill Gates of Microsoft being interviewed. You might see Steve Jobs, Phil Knight of Nike, Howard Schultz of Starbucks, Reid Hoffman of LinkedIn, Elon Musk of PayPal. But if I sat in your office right now, and I gotta ask you, I'm asking many of your the millions of listeners that you have, could you name your 5 black billionaires for me? And so many of us would be hard pressed to do it. Billionaires.
You only have one, but everybody knows one. That's it. Oprah.
Yeah, everybody knows Oprah. Yeah. Oprah's number one. In terms of wealth, Oprah's number one. Bob Johnson, who I interviewed, is number 2. Kathy Hughes, who I interviewed. I spent 2 days with Kathy Hughes at TV and Radio 1. She's number 3. Number 4 is Dave Stewart, Worldwide Telecom, suburbs of St. Louis. I interviewed David. And number 5 is Quentin Primo, the real estate developer in Chicago. That is the problem. Wealth creators, they think different, they act different, they believe in themselves when no one else will. And I'm telling you, if you hang around 9 broke people, sooner or later you're going to be number 10. You got to be very particular who you take information from.
That is absolutely correct, because, you know, you can either be successful, because I've always heard there are 3 levels of life: survival, success, and significance.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, everybody gets, if they get to a level of success, then they're fine. Okay, I can pay my bills, and of course survival is barely struggling from one paycheck to the next. But, you know, success is, well, I can pay my bills, I don't really have money worries, but you're not a millionaire. And
mm-hmm.
they get satisfied with that, Dennis. That is good enough.
I know, and that's part of the problem. Listen, I'm a college professor. I've been blessed. I'm speaking all over the place. I'm just honored that somebody would, you know, like to hear what I have to say. But the bottom line, I'm not telling people you got to be a millionaire, you got to be financially independent, you got to be an entrepreneur. That's not me. I want you completely fulfilled. I mean, what does the Bible say? I mean, the book that I read, Kathy, says you are to live life and live it abundantly. Well, that doesn't mean Gucci and Prada and I got a lot of. That means see the possibilities. And you can read the book from Genesis to Revelation, and you can see how many times it says, complete thy noble task. Well, Kathy, what is thy noble task? Thy noble task is at least show up. Harriet Tubman, over the course of her life, led 965 slaves to freedom. And during the latter part of her life, before her life was over, A young white journalist wanted to chronicle all her achievements. And Harriet Tubman would have none of that. You don't have to write a book about me. I didn't achieve anything in my life. And the journalist says, you've got to be kidding me, Ms. Tubman. She says, no, I could have freed more slaves. I could have freed thousands more if they'd have only known that they were slaves. In other words, you can't get comfortable. That is the bottom line. And in today's hyper-competitive economy, everybody sits on the same footstool. Now, number one leg of the footstool is constant, you know, continuous personal development, continuous striving and achievement. If you don't read, if you don't study, if you don't grow, if you don't develop, somebody out in the universe will. And, Kathy, the day you meet that other person, you lose. Number two is entrepreneurship. I mean, here I am in Bishop T.D. Jakes' book line study when I interviewed him for my fifth book. And what the hell do we know about Bishop Jakes? Number one, they told him he would never make it in the ministry. Why? He has a heavy lisp. And if you could listen close enough, you can hear the lisp. Number two, he's a high school dropout. Yeah, he went back to get his GED. I mean, but he's a high school dropout. They damn near ran him out of Charleston, West Virginia, with only eight members. So I'm in his book line study, and bam, Kathy, all of a sudden he steps in. And I said, wow, Bishop, I mean, they said you would never make it in the ministry. And he says, well, my critics aren't altogether wrong. If you listen closely, there is a lisp. But I don't care if I had to spit. I don't care if I had to stutter. I don't care if I had to stammer. I had something to say, and doggone it, I was going to say it. And I said, well, you got an open mic. You know I'm here. I'm working on my fifth book. Tell me the keys to prosperity and financial success. He says, give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. Teach him how to fish, and you feed him for a lifetime. But show him how he can buy the pond, and no one in his family will ever know struggle. Well, I'm telling your listeners right now, look, damn it, it's time to buy the pond. I don't care if you want to step out on faith. Do whatever you have to do. Find your calling. And there's a big difference. A career is what you're paid for, but a calling is what you're made for. And that's all I'm telling my listeners and readers to do in my books.
Wow, a career is what you're paid for, but a calling is what you're made for. Lord have mercy, amen, amen. You know, I've got to tell you, Dennis, you are absolutely preaching my life. I spent 28 years at IBM Corporation, and it was not my calling. By the time I stepped out on faith and said, you know what, I am so tired of just simply having money. By the time I walked away from that job, I was making $250,000. And it wasn't even about the money. But when I talked about I'm going to quit, I'm going to walk away, this is not my calling, because what I'm doing now is my calling. I was put on this earth to do exactly what I'm doing now. People thought I was crazy. I had zero support. I stepped out on faith, walked away from it, started my entrepreneurship, started doing all of the media work I'm doing, the radio show and the TV show, and I have grown my business so fast. Every magazine came after me and said, oh, my God, I got to do this story. You walked away from this kind of salary in the midst of an economic recession, nonetheless. Mm-hmm. Because I had to be true to who I was. I had to be true to my purpose, my calling. This is what I was meant to do. It's like second nature for me. I mean, being in technology, that I was good in math in high school and college, and that was all well and good, but it wasn't fulfilling me. It wasn't making me happy. I wasn't ready to just jump out of bed. I mean, like you said, you know, you could have Gucci and Prada, and I got a lot of, but, you know, I didn't have a lot of fulfillment. I didn't have a lot of enrichment. That's what I have now. And guess what? I'm on track to make way more than I made when I was in corporate America. But you've got to be courageous enough to step out on faith, follow your passion, do your calling, whatever your unique gifts are. Some people don't even know how to discover their passion, but anyway, that's a whole other show. But you've got to be courageous enough to follow and do whatever that is and stop sitting around complaining. If you're not going to step out on faith and be courageous and committed enough to do it, then shut up.
That's what A.G. Gaston told me. He said, greatness takes time. The acceptable person must be tested in the furnace of adversity. But young man, if you are comfortable where you are in life, then step aside for the man and woman who isn't. And that's the third law to wealth. Believe in yourself when no one else will. You see, I spent 2 days with Kathy Hughes. When she bought her first radio station, for 1 year, she slept on the floor of that radio station, and she and her son ate off a hot plate in that restroom down at the end of the corridor. Well, that was the bathroom that they bathed in. When I interviewed Damon John of Shark Tank, I said, Damon, what was the high water point in your life? He said, when I had to burn the furniture. I said, translate. What do you mean burn the furniture? He said, well, when I finally got financing from Samsung to launch my apparel line, I hired all these seamstresses, and they showed up on my mother's house with all their equipment. I had no place to put their sewing machines. So I took all my mother's furniture out of the house, put it in the backyard, and set it on fire. See, when I interviewed Tyler Perry, I said, Tyler, how in the world did you go from sleeping in your car in New Orleans, sleeping in your car in Atlanta, to building a $145 million production studio? And he told me nothing but the grace of God. You see, that is faith. Hey, Kathy, I didn't choose to be here, and you didn't choose to be here. But the bottom line, we were chosen. So that word choice.
We followed that path that was chosen for us, and that's why we're being rewarded.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not talking about monetary reward.
Yeah.
Yes, you know I'm not talking about monetary reward. That's part
exactly.
of it. But it's the inner fulfillment. It's that inner enrichment that is really something I can't even put a dollar amount on.
Well, you found your area of excellence. And see, that's why we're here. I was going to say, you know, neither of us were chosen, you know, but by choice we were here. And you look at the word choice, which is on my first book and my fifth book, there are 50 million different choices you can make on a daily basis. You know, I chose what time I was going to have lunch, if I did eat lunch. I chose what suit, because I had class today, what suit I was going to wear, you know, what I wasn't going to wear. 99.9% of the choices that we have to render on a daily basis, we can turn our back on. We don't have to confront. But, Kathy, there are two choices. As soon as your feet hit that ground, when you roll out of bed in the morning, you must confront. Number one, you can accept the circumstances as they are. Or number two, you can take the responsibility to change them. And all I found over my career, my academic career, and through my books, I've interviewed men and women who took the latter approach.
Now, let's talk about your book, Think and Grow Rich, and it's a Black Choice. And Think and Grow Rich, a Black Choice, I love that title.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know, you know, and you spent some time with Napoleon Hill's foundation, or, you know, how did you get yourself associated with that?
People ask me all the time, you know, even today, Kathy, you know, folks say, how did you rip Napoleon Hill off? How did you get his name on your book? And I tell them, man, I said, I didn't rip anybody off. W. Clement Stone, who was president of the Napoleon Hill Foundation, he came to me. I didn't come to him. You see, I was working on my first book, which was going to be What Makes the Great Great. And because it was the first self-help book for Black America, Kathy, I had so many interviews, articles written about it, and I was years from completing it. Well, Success Magazine asked me to write an article on it. I wrote it, and it made to the desk of W. Clement Stone. He called me up from his Chicago office in Atlanta. He said, young man, we heard about you. When can you come to Chicago? I would like to meet you. And 2 weeks later, me and my wife, dead broke, couldn't find a dime with a roadmap, borrowed the money to fly up there. My wife waited in the car. We had to rent a car in November in the cold in Chicago for 2 hours while I was in that meeting. And there I walked into his office, and there was W. Clement Stone, the Bill Gates of his time. And he said to me, young man, you're not the first person, you know, to interview successful African-Americans for a book. And I said, I'm not. And he says, no. He says, Napoleon Hill was doing this at the time of his death. At the time of his death, Napoleon Hill was attempting to write a Black version of his all-time classic, Think and Grow Rich. He got 100 pages into the manuscript, died of a stroke. He was 87 years old. And W. Clement Stone held on to that manuscript for 16 years, November 3rd, 1986, the day my life changed forever. And he says, you know, we got a proposition for you. And I said, what is that, Mr. Stone? Based on what we see in here, we want you to finish, complete, and update this book. And I said, what book? And he says, the book in your lap. And I said, I'm honored, but I can't. And he said, why not? I said, well, I'm working on a book of my own. He said, if you have any sense, you'll push your book aside and finish this. And now you look at Think and Grow Rich, a Black Choice, and people say, well, blacks don't read a business book and this, that, and everything. You got more than 1 million copies in print right now with that book.
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell you another thing. You know what? Think and Grow Rich, a Black Choice. I'm going to tell you who else is reading. A Hispanic Choice, an Asian Choice. Every other ethnic group in the globe is reading that. So, yeah, it's not just African Americans. But let me just ask you, what, just a couple of little nuggets, you don't have to give away everything in the book, but what are some of the little nuggets in the book that people are going to find? Because I really want to, first of all, before you answer that question, Dennis, where can we get the book?
Well, you can, I mean, Think and Grow Rich, a Black Choice is out. You can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, blah, blah. I mean, it's been out for more than 20 years, and people refer to it all the time. It's got a life of its own.
You're a Black Choice.
Yeah, yeah. You can go anywhere, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then my fifth book, The Wealth Choice, Success Secrets of Black Millionaires, which is the sequel to Think and Grow Rich, a Black Choice, it's outselling Think and Grow Rich, a Black Choice, so I'm blessed. But if you want any nuggets, in the fifth book, I found 7 laws of wealth that all black members subscribe by. Now, they may not adhere to it on a daily basis, but certainly on a weekly and monthly basis. 7 laws of wealth. Now, let me tell you something, Kathy. You know, wealth is not a function of circumstance. It's not a function of condition. It's not a function of your race, of your gender, which side of town you were born, who your parents are, how the cards are dealt. But it is a function of discipline, and it is a function of faith, and it is a function of innovation, creativity, belief, and choice. And those men and women who have won most in life have relied mostly on themselves.
And please, for those of you who are listening, you cannot get caught up in envy and look at what everyone else is doing, trying to compare yourself.
No.
You know, because all that's going to do is rob you of very, very critical energy that you need to be putting toward your goals.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because we get
without
too
a doubt.
Caught up in that. We look at everybody else and what they're doing, and we're so angry and we're so busy getting caught up in gossip and betrayal and backstabbing. I hate to say that about the African-American race. I really do. I really do.
No one watches more TV than African-Americans. But this is the best time in the history of the universe, Kathy, to own and launch a business. Why? Because if you have a smartphone, and I don't care with internet access, I don't care whether you boot up 6 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the evening, if you have a smartphone, as soon as you go online, there are minimum 2 billion people online with you. Now, there's only 7 billion people in the world, and I don't care what time of day you boot up, there are 2 billion people online with you. Now, you have a choice. You can use that audience of 2 billion to share your dreams, to share your vision, to explain your product or service. Or you can use that 2 billion audience to engage in celebrity gossip. And that's what so many of us do. This is the best time in the history of the universe, and that's where the new ideas are coming from.
And I have to agree with everything you said about the growth and the development and believing in yourself, because, believe it or not, well, about 20 years of those 28 years at IBM Corporation, I was in management role, so I was able to delegate. I had a severe phobia of public speaking. And so for me to step out on faith and follow my calling, knowing I was terrified of speaking in front of just 4 people, let alone 4 million, anyone can do it. If I can do it and I can make it work, and now everywhere I go, people are like, oh, my gosh, you're the best speaker I've ever heard, and you were speaking directly to me. I love it. For me to hear stuff like that, it's like it's surreal. So
yeah, and I tell people all the time, I mean, we have any and every individual right now within hearing of this this message. You got the same opportunity of Bill Gates. You got the same opportunity of any billionaire out there. Now, people will argue me down. How in the world can you have the same opportunity of Howard Schultz or Starbucks or Warren Buffett, blah, blah, blah? Because, you know, I could take an individual with a cardboard sign standing at the street corner, I will work for food. And here's the rub, Kathy. Anybody can wow the customer. Anybody can do more than what is expected, more than what is required. Anybody can be the most positive person in the room. Anybody can, you know, can take an idea and serve, you know, like I said, do more than what is expected and more than what is required. And it all comes down to you and choice. People say that money is the bottom line. I tell my business owners, money is not the bottom line. Love is the bottom line. If you love your customers, you're going to get more customers. If you love your job, you're going to make manager in no time. If you love your employees, I mean, you're going to get the parking space close to the office building. It is not about money. It is about love. And the reason why you are successful with what you're doing, you love what you do. Your work is your play. You don't feel the minutes of the day. And you can always judge and you can always gauge how well you are doing in life by how many people have picked up the phone and tried to hire you away from your present employer. And I know there is so much opportunity out there because you are in your labor of love right now.
Yeah, that is so true. I am in 1,000% agreement with you because I know what my journey was. I know I was in a very abusive marriage. I was in a job I did not like, even though there was tons of money, but I was not happy. So I can tell everyone listening, money is not the answer. It's not going to give you the fulfillment, the enrichment that your life needs. You've got to be living on purpose. You've got to follow your calling, follow your passion. If you don't do that, you're not going to be living a life of significance. Maybe success, but not significance.
I mean, the Bible says the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Well, what in the world did that mean? That means we live in a society, Kathy, until I see the physical, until I see the outward appearance, I'm not going to believe it. But the Bible says, no, the physical that you have first put last and the mental that you have last put first. Translate, everything occurs to you twice in life. First the inner, then the outer. First the thought, then the thing. First the mental, and then the physical. And to the extent that you control what goes on the inside of your life, you'll control what goes on the outside.
And you've got to stop listening to the naysayers. You've got to surround yourself. You said that earlier, and I have to second, third, and fourth that. You can't surround yourself with people who don't want anything, don't have anything, and all they do is complain, make excuses, and justify. You've got to surround yourself with heroes, not zeros.
You know, I have a great interview in my fifth book. I interviewed Trish DiZico. And to your listeners, they probably say, who the hell is Trish DiZico? She's a Microsoft millionaire.
I've heard the name.
Yeah, she got a degree in computer science from Monmouth College in New Jersey, enamored with California, wants to go out there and work. And all her friends and relatives and family says, girl, you go out there and work and blah, blah. She had a job offer. She turned down an offer from IBM. And she said, you go out there and get with one of those high-tech companies. You're going to be unemployed in 60 days. You're going to be back in New Jersey. Well, she goes out there, and she works with Microsoft. At the time, Bill Gates had less than 3,000 employees, and only 40 were African-American. Number one, he couldn't pay anybody what they were worth. Number two, he worked the hell out of everybody. They're working 60, 70, 80 hours a week. But number three, and, you know, he was giving folks stock options. And she told me after a four-year period, one day, the stock split. And a month later, it split again. Then pretty soon it starts splitting every week. Pretty soon it starts splitting every day. And, you know, 6 years later, she had been there 6 years. One day she goes to work and she looks at her, you know, at her earnings and her portfolio, and she's a multimillionaire. And I said to her, I said, how in the world did you do it? And she said to me, she said, you got to be very careful who you listen and take advice from, because you're not only taking advice from them, you're buying into their portfolio.
Just absolutely love it. Just amazing information. Just, I can't believe we're coming up on our last minute of the show, but I do want to, give out your website name, and I think your website is pretty easy. It's DennisKimbrough.com.
Yeah, www.denniskimbrough.com. You can hit me up on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Twitter, you know, at Dr. Kimbrough, at Dr. Dennis Kimbrough. I would love to hear from you. But like I said, the wealth choices, these are your wealth creators. These are the story, Kathy, of men and women who in some circumstances went from below poverty to reach their financial goals and objectives. And so this is a story that's got to be told.
I love it. I love it. And I just, You know, I want to just, we're coming up on our last 30 seconds now, and I want to just end the show, Dennis, with you giving just a final nugget, a final powerful piece of advice for everyone who's listening to the show, regardless of their race, creed, color, gender, mm-hmm. whatever. Just advice for everyone who's listening.
Well, you know, I tell people, you know, and I know it's tough times out there, but I say, listen, stand in the light. And when I say stand in the light, you'll perceive your barriers and your opportunities differently. You stand in the light, Kathy, and you will raise your standard of living. And you don't reach light by analyzing darkness. No, you reach light by choosing light. And what is light? Light is understanding. So you don't create wealth by analyzing poverty. You create wealth by developing a prosperity consciousness. So believe in yourself when no one else will. Dream big dreams and recognize everything occurs to you twice in life.
Oh, I absolutely love that. And for just to add one little teeny piece on that, please, please get your foot out of the past. Stop living in.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have one foot stuck in the past and try to move forward. So learn from those painful life lessons and move forward, please. Thank you so much. And I am Kathy Holloway Hill. We're going to sign off for now. I am pumped and I am excited and energetic, and I am going to have a great evening because we had a superb guest. And we thank you for joining us for another episode of Living by Design. We'll be back next week with another empowering topic.